We have been talking about Jesus and his analogy of the vine. It's found in John chapter 15. If you'd like to open there in your Bibles, John chapter 15. And we're going to be looking today at verses 5 and 6 in particular, but just to kind of refresh your memory. Jesus explains in this analogy, this symbol, that there are four elements. One is a product, the other three are necessary relationships. Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches, my Father is the vine dresser. And as he begins to explain this analogy, he tells us some important things. Branches have to be connected to the vine. If they're not abiding in the vine, they're fruitless. Vines and branches need a vine dresser. They don't have someone to care for them. Grapevines do not produce very well. In fact, they tend to go all to leafing vegetation, and they tend to fall on the ground and just produce little seeds, and that's about it. And then he says, in that relationship, your role as branches is to abide in me. And if you abide in me, then you will be fruitful. So we come to verse 5, and Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I started out a couple weeks ago by asking you the question, how many of you want to be fruitful? How many of you want to have fruit in the kingdom? You know, think about it. You want to be fruitful. You want your life to matter. You want to count for something. In fact, I would go so far as to say that that's a part of God's divine image in us, that every single human being at some level, usually at a very basic level, has a desire to be significant. I told you about a fellow that I used to work with many years ago in a construction crew I was on, and he used to talk about the meaning of life like this, and your relationship to a job or employment or anything else. He'd say, stick your finger in a bucket of water, pull it out, and see what kind of impression you leave. That's how much you count. Pretty cynical view of life. Thankfully, there aren't too many people around that have that perspective. Because all of us want to believe that our lives are going to matter. That we're here for a reason. That we're going to have some significance in life. And, you know, we go through life with this sense of wanting to leave some kind of legacy, to make some kind of impact. It's what drives most people that think about it any length of time at all. You know, we want to accumulate things. We want to build a life. We want to have a family, or we want to build buildings, or we want to make highways, or write poetry, or paint pictures, or make music. We want to do something that provides meaning and quality to life, and we want to believe that that meaning and that quality is going to last. Now, Jesus says in this verse, verse 5, if you abide in me, I abide in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And when we read that, I have a feeling that we kind of tend to sort of gloss over it because we don't really get a handle on the implications of the statement. We look around us and say, well, I see all kind of people that are not in Jesus that are doing something. I mean, look at the people that are working on the interstate system around Chicago. They probably don't know the Lord for the most part, but they're doing stuff. Look at the people in the grocery stores. Look at the people in the factories. Look at the people that are running businesses. They're doing stuff without Jesus. They're doing something. So what on earth is Jesus talking about? Without me, you can do nothing. I see people around me every day that do something without the benefit of a life connected to the vine, without the benefit of Jesus. And so the first question we have to ask when we look at this passage is, What does Jesus mean by nothing? Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we see people doing something all around us, I want to take you in your mind back to a parable that Jesus told about a farmer who had a bumper crop. In fact, he had a bigger harvest than he could ever have imagined. Everything that year produced a hundredfold plus. It was just an amazing year. And he looked at that and he thought about how long he'd been farming and how long he'd been planting the crops. And he had built up a pretty good business. You know, he was kind of like some of our farmers in downstate Illinois here, where he had people working for him, and he had barns and he had grain bins and whatever to store his corns and his beans or whatever else. And he looked at this crop and he said, man, this is more than I ever imagined. He said, here's what I'm going to do. He got all his people together. He said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to build bigger places to store this stuff. I am going to sit back and relax. I've got it made. I'm going to take it easy. This is my winning year. And he said, I've earned it. Man, I've worked hard, and this is the reward of my labor. And then there was a message that came to him, Jesus said, from God. And it went like this: you fool, today your soul is required of you. In other words, you're going to die today, and you're going to have to give an answer for your life. Your soul is required of you. All of a sudden, all that this man had accumulated, all that he had suddenly amassed, all that had become important to him in life, instantly lost its value. And all of a sudden, he was brought up short and was going to have to face God with nothing to show for his effort. And Jesus went on in the parable to make this point. He said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Because when you think about it, we all have a common currency. You know what it is? It's worldwide. Everyone has the same currency, the same spendability. What is it? Time. We all have time. As long as we're breathing, we have time. That's our currency, and we can spend it until the day God says, time is up. And then we have to cash in and look at the books and see how it turns out. And Jesus is saying to that, what will you trade your soul for? What will you trade your time for? What will you trade your life for? A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things. Now we're getting perspective on the subject. What does Jesus mean when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing? I want you to think for a moment with me about all the things that human beings can do without Jesus. They can build buildings. They can build roads. They can build businesses. They can build empires. They can build nations. They can write symphonies. They can paint paintings. They can build ocean ships that sail on top and submarines that go underneath and planes that fly over. They can create satellites and technology. They can build computers and software to drive them in amazing ways. Look at all the things people can do without Jesus. Look at the mark they can make. Look at the impact. Think of the way Bill Gates has impacted this world. Microsoft Software is the largest software manufacturing company in the world. They use it all over the place. They use it in China. They use it in Indonesia. They use it in South America. They use it in Europe and across the United States. Think of the impact this man has made in the world. But when we all stand before the judgment of God, the great white throne at the end of time, and the elements have melted with fervent heat, what will be left of Microsoft? Nothing. What will be left of the empires? Nothing. There won't even be any fossil remains, for the elements will melt with fervent heat. Everything will disappear. All the houses, all the lands, all the bank accounts, all the corporations, even the evidence of their existence, the paper trails they've left will vanish. The computer disk will melt with the elements. There will be no trace of the existence of any of this stuff. The scripture says that that day when we stand before the great white throne of God, men will look for a place to hide, and there will be no place. That's the same as saying nothing exists except your soul and God. That's all. And the angels, angelic beings. We will stand before God at the great white throne, and there will only be souls and God. There will be no earth, there will be no stars, there will be no moon, there will be no heavens, there will be no oceans, there will be no mountains, no caves in which to hide. There will be nothing left. Absolutely nothing. All the things that men and women have given their lives for, they've traded their soul. The scripture says in that day will be completely consumed and vanish without a trace. And we will stand alone before God. That's it. I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, there won't even be anywhere to stand, but we're going to appear in God's presence. And there will only be two kinds of people on that day. Those whose sins have been cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They will stand with God at the great white throne judgment, and they will anticipate after that judgment the new heaven and the new earth. And then there will be all the others whose sins are not covered by the blood of Christ. And they will be judged for their sin and banished to the lake of fire, to the outer limits of the universe that burns forever. And they will have nothing to show for their lives but their rebellion. That's it. So now all of a sudden we begin to get the picture of what Jesus was meaning when he said, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Because you see, there are a lot of things we do without Jesus, but none of them will last eternally. They will not have permanent significance. They will come to an end. The good news is that in this passage, Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. You will be fruitful. In other words, you will have a product for your life that will have eternal significance. We're coming back to that point that I can make a difference, that I can matter. Do you have a question, Todd? Yes, right now, when we die in this time. Well, if we're in Jesus Christ, we immediately go into the presence of the Lord. And if we're not in Jesus Christ, we go to hell, which is a holding place until the judgment. And then people in hell go to the lake of fire. So when we die right now, we either go in the presence of God or we go into hell. But ultimately, there will be a judgment. And it's immediate. No waiting. Praise God if you know Jesus. No waiting. Well, but see, if you're covered by the blood of Christ and your sins are forgiven, I will by no means kick you out, he says. He receives us. Praise God for that. Okay. But Jesus says in this passage that there is a way. You know, you've heard it said, you can't take it with you. Well, Jesus is saying something differently here. He's saying there is a way to take it with you. There is a way to be fruitful that has eternal significance. There's a way that your life can count. When you say, well, what is the currency of that particular value? I mean, how do we measure it? And we immediately recognize we've just said that all the elements are going to melt. All the businesses are going to cease to exist. All the nations are going to evaporate. All the history of them are going to go away. Everything human beings have ever done on this planet are going to disappear. So what kind of currency is it? What kind of fruit is it that is going to survive the vaporizing of all the elements? Well, remember, there's only going to be a couple of kinds of individuals on that day: God, the angels, and human souls. But nothing of this planet. So it must be that whatever is fruitful is that which has an impact in human lives, that which makes a difference in people. There must be a currency, there must be a fruitfulness, there must be a way to invest our lives that will make a difference in other people, that is not a consumable thing, but an eternal thing, something that will last. It's not measured in brick and mortar or a bank account, but it's measured in the impact we have in the lives of other people. Jesus says that is eternal because people live forever, one place or another. And when you think about that impact, the most obvious impact is when you are used of God, the Holy Spirit, to lead a soul to faith in Christ, to introduce someone to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They will stand with you on the good side of the dividing line at the judgment with Jesus Christ, and they will live forever in His presence and with you because you were used of God to influence them. How many of you can win a person to Christ? Don't raise your hand. Think about it. Don't make a fool of yourself. None of you can win somebody to Jesus. Who of you can convict a sinner of his sin? Who of you can convince them on the inside that they have sinned against a holy God? Who of you can convince someone on the inside that they need a Savior to cover the stain that has blotted them out from their God? How can you convince a person of that? You can't do that. God, the Holy Spirit, must do that. He is the one who convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He is the one who convinces them of the need for a Savior. He is the one who persuades their spirit that Jesus is alive and His atonement was for them, and they can come to have a relationship with Him by repenting of their sin and trusting Him. The Holy Spirit is the one who does that. But when He is working through you and you are the channel through which that occurs, your life takes on obvious and eternal significance because you're the vehicle, the branch through which the fruit is produced of the Holy Spirit flowing through the vine and bringing another soul to Christ. That's the obvious fruit. But there's other fruit. There's the encouragement that we give one another in Jesus. Somehow our words will ring throughout eternity. Have you ever thought about that? The Scripture says we're going to give an account for every idle word. But we're also going to have a measurement of all the effective words. Paul says in Ephesians, put away from your lips all abusive speech and malicious talk and all that kind of stuff, and speak those words which are inspired by the Holy Spirit that are fitting for the need of the moment, that give just exactly what that person needs to hear. And when we're used of God to speak that word of encouragement or that word of blessing or uplifting, it is that word that in that moment has eternal significance in that person's life. Real growth occurs. So the kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about is a fruit that makes a difference in the lives of people that will survive the burning elements of the judgment. It is a fruit that will make a permanent change in the life of another person that you can still measure in terms of how much fruit when we stand at the judgment seat of God. Jesus is offering us eternal significance. Think about it. He's saying, if you will abide in me and let me abide in you, I will work through you in such a way that I will produce fruit in you that will last forever. Your life is going to have eternal meaning because of your relationship with me. Isn't that an amazing thing? So here's the equation. Abide in me, I in you, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's talking about anything of significance, anything that will last. Without him, we cannot do anything that will last. With him, we have the potential to do all kinds of things that have eternal value. Now, if you're like me, when you've thought that far through it, you begin to think about how much of your life you spend doing non-essential things. You know, mundane stuff. How many of you have to work? Pretty much everybody in the room, unless you're too young to work and your folks are still taking care of you. Everybody's got to do something, you know. We have to work. Even if you're retired, you're hopefully enjoying the fruits of your labors, the different kind of fruit. We have to work. I want to ask you how many of you brushed your teeth this morning. I brushed mine. That's a pretty mundane thing, you know. I spend a few minutes brushing my teeth. I hate to waste time, so I run around and pick out socks and ties and stuff while I'm brushing my teeth, you know, because I want to make it all count. Mundane stuff, you know. How many of you put gas in your car this week? What eternal value does putting gas in your car have? You're standing there at the pump, you know, you put the nozzle in, you're holding it, or maybe you can get the clicker to work. Down in Florida, they don't have those clickers. I think that's where it is. The state won't let them. So you got to hold the thing. You know, then you got to go in and pay the clerk. And you say, I do things like this every day. That how do these have eternal significance? How do these matter? I'm trading time for just stuff. I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to get through life. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus in this passage is offering us the possibility of turning the most mundane things into eternal currency, into eternal fruit. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Listen, builders can build without Jesus, but they can also build with Jesus and in Jesus. And friends, the difference is this. You can take that builder, he may even be a Christian, but it's never dawned on him that Jesus wants to transform his building. And so he's just out there building, you know. Oh, I made a house. I'm building a house. Okay. But you can build that house abiding in the vine. You know, and when you stand back from the house, it may look the same. You may have two builders who take the same blueprints and the same floor plan, maybe different ends of the subdivision. They build the same house. It's got the brick and it's got the siding and it's got the windows and the driveway and the sidewalk and the landscape. And you stand back and here's this beautiful house that you built. And for the one guy, that house one day, if it survives until the judgment, is going to vanish. And every ounce of energy he put into it is going to have been wasted. But here's this other builder over here, built the same house, but he built it abiding in the vine. Is that house going to vanish in the judgment? Yep. It's going to go away. But what's the difference? how he treated his subcontractors, how he treated the buyer of the home, how he shared his life, the integrity with which he produced his product, the impact he had as he was able, prompted by the Spirit of God, to share the Lord or a word of encouragement or to make a difference in someone's life because he was connected to Jesus and Jesus was working through him. And at the end of the construction project, the one guy has something that will never last. And the other guy has something that will never last, but the process in which he was engaged allowed his life to count in such a way that he will take fruit for eternity out of the time he spent building that house. Jesus is offering us eternal significance even in the mundane things of life. Maybe you're pumping that gas and you go in and that attendant is having a rotten day and you can tell it just by her attitude, you know? She's just frustrated. You can see it in her face. She's short. And maybe God will use you to speak a word of encouragement and of blessing and some investment, deposit of love and blessing in her life. And all of a sudden, pumping gas abiding in the vine has made a difference in someone's life eternally. You have touched them with the love of God. And minister Jesus, he's given you the word to say, that fitting word, like apples of gold in settings of silver, the proverb says. And it has been just what was needed. Friends, Jesus is telling us in this passage that without him we can never do anything that will have eternal significance. But in him, the fruit and the product of our lives can be such that everything we do can be transformed by the grace and the power of God into an act of worship and of service and of ministry that will be fruitful in the kingdom. He wants us to abide. Are you conscious of abiding in him? Every morning when you get up, are you aware of abiding in Jesus, of residing in the vine? Lord, flow through me today. Lord, be fruitful through me today. Lord, produce what you desire in me today. My life is yours. I want to rest in you, and I want all of you to flow through me, that the impact I make in this world today will have eternal significance. Someone needs to hear about the Savior. My lips are ready. Someone needs a word of encouragement. I'm ready to give it. Lord, if some brother or sister needs me to lift them up and exhort them, I'm willing to be that exhorter. I want to be sensitive to you. I want to rest in you. I want to be your instrument today. Jesus says, in me, the things that you do will last forever. I will make you fruitful. I will make your life meaningful. And whatever talents and abilities he's given you and whatever assignments and mundane tasks that you have to do every day can nonetheless become a sanctuary of his presence when you allow him to flow through you. Don't read that passage and just kind of gloss over the words. Jesus is telling us something very profound. Every moment you live, you're trading time for something. It can be time with life in the vine and be fruitful. Or it can be just living for yourself, just doing your thing, just doing your job, just getting through the day. And I don't care if you leave a legacy like a Bill Gates or if you just live and die in McHenry and never make much of a splash. In the end, the accounts will equal zero. I don't know, maybe Bill knows the Lord. I don't know. I'm not trying to judge him. I'm just making a point. I've never heard that. But in the end, it all amounts to the same. But if you're in the vine, if you're abiding in Christ, then he can transform everything you do. Now, you know, in this passage in verse 6, this passage is not really about eternal security. People that try to make that out of this passage are getting hung up. Jesus is just making a point. And this is what he says. If a branch does not abide in me, that is, it has no connection to the vine, it will never bear any fruit. A life that is not connected to Jesus will have no fruit. It will have no lasting value. And when that life is done, there will be nothing to show for it. Jesus says, branches that are not connected to the vine are dying on the ground. They gather them up, they cast them into the fire, and they're burned. They're not good for anything. That's not the way we're intended to live, but Jesus is making the point. If you're not connected to Christ, your life is going nowhere. There's no real life in you. There's no real significance in the things you do. It's going to come to naught. It's going to be empty. Every branch that does not abide in Christ, there's no connection there, is dying on the ground, fruitless and empty, and useful for the fire. Read Lake of Fire at the judgment. It's not a commentary on eternal security. It's a simple explanation of the reality that if you're in Jesus Christ and His life is flowing through you, God wants to make you fruitful. He wants to prune you and trim you and develop you and work in you and live through you in such a way that you become a fruitful, productive follower of Jesus Christ, resting in Him. And if you're not connected to Jesus, you're going through this life just doing stuff. You're trading your life for nothing. Because in the end, it's going to be zero. And nothing to show for it. Unless there's some divine life coming through you. It's an empty life. Jesus is offering us meaning and significance. That in connection with Him, we can make a difference. What kind of life are you living? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you letting Him flow? Can you see with your imagination how God can take even the mundane things of your life, and if you're in union with Him and open to Him, how He can even use those things as means to accomplishing eternal results? That's the amazing thing about being in Christ. He can redeem everything in your life and make it of eternal significance. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Father, we want to ask You this morning to open our eyes to understand the abiding. We want to ask You to make plain to us, clear to us, because we are so easily distracted by the things that this world offers, by the ways of investing our time and our life and our energy that are not really eternally valuable. And we have a hard time seeing the future. We're victims of the present. We just kind of live in this moment. And for the most part, we have a tendency to just see what we need next. Lord, You're calling us to a kind of life that is in a different plane entirely, that uses a different kind of currency, that has a different kind of measurement. Lord, I pray this morning that You would open our eyes, that we would get them off of just getting through life and on to Jesus in such a way that we would be branches through whom You can bless the world around us. Produce fruit in our lives, Lord, that will last. Make us significant. We want to yield to You for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.